We are, of course, continuing our study in the fruit of the Spirit as it is seen in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen that love and joy of the Spirit in Christ. Now the third part of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And here we have in our text for this morning, that verse 27, the Lord Jesus speaking about his peace. Says to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now the Lord Jesus Christ has been preparing his disciples for his soon departure out of the world. Of course, Gethsemane, Calvary, and the garden tomb would all come before the Lord would depart from his disciples. But 40 days later, he would be gone, returning to his heavenly Father, leaving his disciples behind. This greatly troubled them, not knowing how they were going to manage or cope without the physical presence of their Savior with them day by day. And so to calm their fears, the dear Savior says unto them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And so you can see the Lord is endeavoring to calm the troubled spirits of the disciples. But thus far, those words did not seem to satisfy them, as fear and uncertainty filled their minds and their hearts. And then the Savior repeated the words in verse 27, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." It was at that moment that the Lord then gave them the remedy. The remedy for their trouble and their fear. For he said unto them, "Peace I leave with you." And then he says, "My peace give I unto you." My peace. I will give you my peace. He promised to leave them his peace. That was his legacy. "My peace I leave with you." And then he said, "My peace I give unto you." There was his gift. He would give him the gift, or give them the gift of his peace. And this is the fruit of the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And the Lord Jesus had the fruit of the Spirit, of course, for he was filled with the Spirit. And over the course of his ministry, the dear Savior referred to "my love," fruit of the Spirit. "My joy," the fruit of the Spirit. And now he speaks about "my peace," the fruit of the Spirit. He has shown His love for the needy. He has given His joy to the sorrowing. And now He gives His peace to the troubled. Love, joy, peace are the first three parts of the fruit of the Spirit. We have considered the first two. Love and joy. Now we come to peace. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. So let us see then this part of the fruit of the Spirit as it is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to begin by looking at Christ, who is the God of peace. The Lord Jesus told the disciples that if they wanted peace for their troubled hearts, that they would most definitely not find it in the world. For the Lord Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Instead, true peace is only to be found in Christ. Because He is the God of peace. Look with me, please, at Romans chapter 16. And I want to give you just a few references through the course of this message this morning. If you care to jot them down, it's always good to take notes, and then you can do a little study of your own. But in there, in Romans 16, we read in verse 20, and the reference is to the Lord Jesus, as you will see, and the God of peace. So is Christ. And He's the God of peace. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now it is interesting that the Lord Jesus in the New Testament is referred to as the God of peace no less than seven times. I'll give you the references. Romans 15 and verse 33. Romans 16 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 11. Philippians 4 verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. And Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Seven times the Lord Jesus is directly called the God of peace. Seven, of course, is the number of completion or perfection. And the Lord Jesus is the one who has that complete and perfect peace. And that complete and perfect peace, the Lord says, I will give unto you. And so here we are, dear Christian, this morning. We have the promise of the Lord that He will give us His complete and perfect peace. And here we have this peace in the Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now the Lord Jesus, who is the God-man, made it clear to His disciples that it was only His peace that would bring them comfort. It was only this complete and perfect peace that would still the storm in their hearts. He spoke to them saying, my peace I give unto you. And later He told them in John 16 verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you that, listen, in me ye might have peace. You will have peace in me. And so if peace is not found in the world, And his disciples did not have peace in themselves. Then they could only find peace for their troubled hearts in Christ. And really, that's the only place that any man on this earth will find true peace, is in the Son of God, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior has told us that. I will give you my peace. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. And so the world cannot give the peace that the Lord Jesus gives. He is the fountainhead. He is the source of all true peace. Indeed, Paul reminds us of this at the beginning of his letters. You notice how Paul begins all of his letters. He begins all of his letters with these words. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace from. Not the world. Not ourselves. But peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You can look at all the letters of Paul and you'll find those words at the beginning of each letter. And so Paul recognized and taught that peace came from God. He's the God of peace. Christ is the God of peace. He is the Son of God. And since we are speaking about the fruit of the Spirit, Christ is the fruit of the Spirit. For he is love, and he is peace, and he is joy. He is all of these things. They'll not be found anywhere else. True love is not found anywhere else except in Christ. True joy is not found anywhere else except in Christ. And true peace is not found anywhere else except in Christ. And all who know the Son are in the Son. That's what Paul said. We would find peace in him. And the Lord Jesus has said that. And so if you have Christ, you have love. If you have Christ, then you have joy. If you have Christ, then you have peace. A person who says they're a Christian, but they do not have love, there's something wrong. A person who says they're a Christian, but they do not have joy, there's something wrong. And a person who says they're a Christian, but they do not have peace, then there's something wrong. Because it is in Christ we have love and joy and peace. If we don't have those things, then we're not in Christ. We don't know the Lord. He is the one who gives us love, joy and peace. And when we have Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us in our lives the fruit of the Spirit. So then we have Christ the Son, who is peace. And then we see also that this peace is found in Christ the Sovereign. When the prophet Isaiah spoke about the promised Messiah, remember what he said? He gave him five titles. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's his title. He has a royal title. And here he is identified by his royal name, the Prince of Peace. But then, the Lord appeared unto Abraham. And as he appeared unto Abraham, according to Hebrews 7 and verse 2, he revealed himself unto Abraham as the king of Salem. And the king of Salem, we're told, which is the king of peace. That's Christ's name. He's the Prince of Peace. Yea, he is the King of Peace. And those who know the Prince of Peace, and those who have the King of Peace as their Savior, will know the peace of God. Will know the peace that Christ gives. These expressions are used to distinguish the Lord Jesus from all other kings and princes. All other kings and princes are only interested in and delight themselves in conquest and bloodshed. But Christ is the promoter of peace. That's what was sung at his birth, wasn't it? When he came into the world, the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men." But that's the problem in the world today. The leaders in the world today don't know Christ. And they don't know anything about peace. And that's why today there are wars and rumors of wars. Because no one knows, or few know, the King of Peace. And you see, believer, whenever Christ is upon his throne in our hearts, the heart of the Christian is the throne of Christ. And when Christ, the King of Peace, is on his throne, then we will have peace. We will enjoy that peace. And we'll have that peace in the times of trouble. You turn to Colossians. And there in Colossians chapter 3. And verse 15, Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule. He's the king. He must rule in the life of the Christian. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Peace of God must rule in your hearts. And if Christ the King rules the heart, then the peace of God will rule the heart as well. If Christ is upon the throne of your heart, then there will be peace. There will be peace in times of anxiety. If Christ is upon his throne. For it is written, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." One of our students on Friday evening spoke about dealing with stress and anxiety. And in the course of what she had to say, she said it can be dealt with in Christ. And here we have the peace that only Christ can give. Here is how we deal with anxiety and stress. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stead on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 36 and verse 3. Indeed, those words, perfect peace, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace. Those words may be rendered, peace, peace. Thou wilt keep him in peace, in peace. In other words, he will give us peace with our peace. There's the complete and perfect peace that Christ is able to give. The King of Salem will give us peace in our peace. As Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding, listen, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's the heart and the mind that is often filled with anxiety and worry and stress. But Christ, the King of peace, the peace of God which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And if he rules our hearts, then he will rule over our anxieties too. Isn't that what the Lord was saying to those disciples? My peace I give unto you. Because they were anxious and they were troubled. What was the answer? The peace of God. The Lord gives us peace in times of anxiety. In times of adversity, the Lord gives us peace. Our King of peace shall lead us to victory. When we're in conflict with the devil, we face that conflict, we're engaged in that conflict every day. He comes against us to disturb our peace with his temptations and his railing accusations. Remember what we read there in Romans 16 and verse 20? And the God of peace, which is Christ, shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Christ, the God of peace, shall bruise Satan under your feet. That's where Satan ought to be in the Christian's life, under his feet. And Christ our King will give us the victory over Satan. When we have to face the adversary, and we're troubled at times when he brings up old sins, Christ will give us peace. And he'll have Satan under our feet. He'll give us peace in times of anxiety, in our battle with adversity, and when we find ourselves alone. When we have to stand alone, when we have to struggle alone, and sometimes when we sit alone, and we're not sure about tomorrow, and there's the fear of the unknown, and we think to ourselves, what if this happens, and what if that happens, and go over these things when we're alone. That's when the King of Peace will come and give us his peace. For we read in Philippians 4, verse 9, the God of peace shall be with you. So you see, you're not alone. The God of peace shall be with you. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. Jesus we know, and he is on the throne. Do we ever have Christ on the throne of our hearts? for it's then we shall enjoy his peace. But Christ is not only, we don't only find this fruit of the Spirit in the Son and in Jesus Christ, the Sovereign, but he is also the securer of our peace. It is interesting that the word peace means unity or concord. The word peace means unity or concord. Isn't that interesting? Of course, we know that there will be peace where there is unity. If there's no unity, there's no peace. But as unregenerate sinners, there was no unity between ourselves and God. There was rather that just continual warfare. We were in a battle with God. Our souls were at enmity with God. There was a continual warfare between ourselves and our Creator. There was no common ground of peace. Instead, between the sinner and God, there was a great gulf fixed. And there's only one person who could stand that great gulf. That person is Jesus Christ. And only through Christ could we be reconciled to God and God be reconciled to us. Only through the atoning death on the cross was a reconciliation brought about. And where there was war before, praise God, now there's peace. We're at peace with God. We're not only at peace with God, we have the peace of God. The peace of God in our hearts, as Paul put it in Colossians 1 verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. We're reconciled to God by the blood of his cross. And now we have peace. And it's this peace of God which will carry us through our troubled times. Ephesians 2 and verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. See, there's always something between us and God. The middle wall of partition. In certain parts of Belfast, even yet, dividing the Roman Catholic communities from the Protestant communities, they have what they call a peace wall. And there are these walls built between the two communities. And really it's that wall that keeps the communities apart. Even more so at the height of the Troubles. If that wall wasn't there, well, there would be trouble between the two communities. But the Lord Jesus has broken down the middle wall that separated us from God. And now we are at peace with God. The battle is over. The war has ended. Romans 5 and verse 1. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's no other way. of finding peace with God except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is our peace. We press on quickly. And we see that Christ is not only the God of peace, but He's the giver of peace. Savior has made that clear. He alone is the giver of peace. As we see there in our text, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, when the Lord would give His disciples His peace, He was able then to say, let not your heart be troubled. Their hearts wouldn't be troubled when the Lord would give them His peace. And what is this peace that Christ gives? Number one, it is true peace. Once again, we see that from their text. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. I give you true peace. See, there were those in Jeremiah's day who preached a message of peace. Again, if we might refer to the troubles in Ulster, there were various leaders of so-called peace movements that sprung up. And they would have parades, and a couple of ladies even got the peace prize for their efforts. Didn't do any good. Bombing still went on, and the killing still went on. That wasn't true peace at all. It was the same in Jeremiah's day. There were those who were leaders of a peace movement, if you like. And we read in Jeremiah 6 and verse 14, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people. Slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And like the peace leaders in Ulster those years ago, they were crying, peace, peace, and there was no peace. It's not true peace. You can have all the peace parades you want, and the peace rallies you want. It's not going to bring peace to a man's heart, or peace to a troubled conscience. Only Christ can do that. Only the Lord Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the King of Peace, the God of Peace, can do such things. Christ alone is the giver of true peace. The disciples saw an example of this peace that the Savior had. And remember, we know He's God, but He's also man. And the disciples saw this peace that the Savior had that night on Galilee. The storm broke. Those fishermen were pulling for all their might, trying to get out of the storm and get to the other side. And they looked around for the Savior. And where was He? Why, He was fast asleep with His head on a pillow. And the waves were dashing over the sides of the ship. And the Savior was fast asleep. What would you call that? I would call that true peace. Savior wasn't troubled. The Savior wasn't afraid. The Savior slept. And the Savior said to those same disciples here in John 14, my peace. He could have said to them, the peace that you saw that night in the storm, that's the peace I'll give you. And you also will have peace in the storms of life. Dear Christian, isn't it good to know the Lord? Isn't it good to know the Savior whenever we come through or meet the storms of life? We have Christ in the vessel. And when Christ is in the vessel, we can smile at the storm, because he will give us his peace, true peace. Not only did they see that true peace in the storm, they saw that true peace in his sufferings. When they arrested the Savior, when they began to beat him, and they buffeted him. Oh, how in the Gospels we read, they pushed him about, slapped him on the face, and they bruised him, and they battered him. No mention of the Savior retaliating. Instead, he stood there peacefully and took all that they, as it were, threw at him. Another example of his peace. True peace is seen in Jesus Christ in the time of his suffering. They saw it also in a time of great sorrow. Great sorrow. At that time when Jairus' daughter had passed away. And the Lord Jesus went with Jairus to his home. We mentioned it last week. When he got to the home, there they were, bawling and weeping and wailing, because the child had died, 12 years of age. But the Savior stands there in perfect peace. He's peaceful in the time of sorrow. He's peaceful in the time of suffering. He's peaceful in the time of storm. And dear Christian, this is the peace that Christ says he'll give unto us. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And it is seen in Jesus Christ. Manifested, demonstrated in Christ. That's true peace. Notice also it was a timely peace. This peace the Lord gave to his disciples was certainly very timely. For they're troubled, and just when they were troubled, the Lord says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. The Lord gave them the peace at the right time, at the time it was needed. A brother or sister faces surgery. They're worried about it. Not really looking forward to it. Whoever is. And they're troubled. They're admitted to hospital. Have their pre-op and all the rest of it. And then the hour of the surgery comes. They're taken to the operating theatre. And then, suddenly, a great calm comes over them. And there's a great peace. And after the surgery, they testify. And they say, you know, before I went into the operating theater, there was a great calm and peace came over me. The Lord had given them his peace. It's timely, just when it was needed. And believer, the Lord gives us His peace just at the time we need it. It's timely. I think of the Apostle Paul. We read about him in Acts 20. In Acts 20, he's saying farewell to the church at Ephesus. He's going to Jerusalem. And in Acts 20, in verse 22, this is what he says. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. There's the unknown. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So we knew there was going to be trouble because he'd go up there to preach the gospel. And if anything, if the past was anything to go by, Paul knew what it would be like. But then look at what he says in verse 24. But none of these things move me. That word move is a strong word. The word means none of these things move me in the slightest. Not in the slightest. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. He has peace in his heart. That's the peace of God. That's the peace the Lord gives. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It's also a treasured peace. The Lord Jesus said to the disciples, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The peace that Christ gives is so valuable, it's not found anywhere else. And because of that, it is a peace that is greatly treasured. Peace in this world is something that many wish they had. There are men lying in prison cells today, and their conscience is wreaking havoc with their minds, and how they wish they had peace. We read in Isaiah 57 these words in verse 19, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea. What a description that is. Like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Verse 21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There is no peace to the wicked. And so, dear Christian, you and I who are in Christ, you and I who know Christ, you and I who have peace bought for us by the blood of Jesus Christ, we ought to treasure the peace that we have. Because to the wicked, there is no peace. They don't have it. a peace to be treasured, a peace that triumphs over fear and fretfulness. Blessed Saviour, thou dost keep me by thy power from day to day, and my heart is full of gladness, for thou wilt keep me all the way, all the peace my Saviour gives, peace I never knew before, for my ways has brighter grown since I learned to trust him more. Since it is a great treasure, this peace, dear Christian, it's something to be guarded. If you have something valuable, you would guard that valuable item. You would lock it away. You would protect it, lest it was stolen. You know something? The devil is out to steal our peace. And sin will disturb our peace. Sin will steal the treasure, that which we treasure most is the peace of God. Do you know how Satan crept into the garden and disturbed the peace of the garden, so that man was never the same again? Treasure that peace. It is the fruit of the Spirit. We have on time to complete our final point, which is Christ and the greatness of his peace. It is a peculiar peace, for it's the peace of God that passeth all understanding. It's a possessed peace. Christ has given it to us. And it is a permanent peace. We can experience and enjoy the blessing of that peace through all the trials of life. Even when we come to cross over Jordan, we have nothing to fear. Peace will rule our hearts. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always. The Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. When we have the Lord with us, we have a peace. He has given us that peace. It's precious. It's permanent. It's our possession. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Our dear Lord and gracious God, we thank thee for the King of Peace. Thank thee for the one who is our Prince of Peace. We bless thee that he is the God of Peace. And we thank thee that he has bought peace for us through his own blood. Lord, we thank thee for all that we have in Christ, all the treasures that we have in the Lord are beyond compare. They cannot be measured or valued. And the amazing thing is, Lord, we haven't sampled or seen even a fraction of the riches we have in Christ. But Lord, those that we do know of and are aware of, help us, Lord, to rejoice in them, including this great treasure of the peace of God. Lord, bless us as we gather around the table now. Give us a good time here. Encourage us, Lord, with thy presence. For we ask these things in the Lord's name and for his glory. Amen. Let us close this part of the service with hymn number 384. My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. 384. Anyone who has to leave may feel free to do so. After the singing of verse 1, 384, standing to sing.